Think about the last time you landed a job, met someone who changed your trajectory, or felt truly understood in a moment of crisis. Chances are, the architecture of your relationships, not just your talent or credentials, made it possible. Vernon Jordan understood this instinctively. When an insurance company rejected him for an internship after discovering he was Black, he didn't retreat. Instead, he methodically built connections across racial and professional divides until he became what Henry Louis Gates called the Rosa Parks of Wall Street, a presidential confidant sitting on 9 corporate boards. Jordan's story isn't just about resilience, it's about recognizing that our networks are invisible structures that either amplify or constrain everything we attempt in life. Your network isn't just a collection of contacts, it's an architecture that determines what you can see, whom you can reach, and what becomes possible. Just as carbon atoms arrange themselves into either soft graphite or hard diamond, the same relationships, configured differently, yield entirely different outcomes. Most of us fall into one of three patterns. Expansionists maintain enormous networks and excel at working rooms, but often struggle with depth. They're the ones who seem to know everyone at the conference, but might not have anyone to call at 3 a.m. Brokers connect disconnected worlds. They're the chef who collaborates with chemists, the executive who bridges politics and business. They generate value by standing at the intersection of separate spheres. Conveners build dense, interconnected circles where everyone knows each other, creating environments rich in trust, but sometimes insular. Strategic networking literally makes you feel dirty. Studies show people recalling instrumental networking are twice as likely to think of cleansing words like wash and soap. We also underestimate how much others enjoy talking with us, experiencing a persistent liking gap where we believe we're less likable than we actually are. The antidote isn't networking harder, it's shifting from getting to giving. People with power don't experience networking as morally compromising because they feel they have value to offer. Giving activates reward centers in your brain, creating a helper's high. Everyone has something to offer, expertise, a listening ear, or simply asking for help, which allows others the gift of being useful. Farron Adria's El Bulli served foam margaritas and liquid peas that congealed into ravioli on your tongue. Adria became legendary through brokerage, standing at the intersection of disconnected groups and translating between them. When you span structural holes between isolated groups, you receive better evaluations, higher salaries, and earlier promotions. Effective brokers are high self-monitors, adaptable translators who adjust their behavior based on context, like Obama and Clinton's shifting speaking styles for different audiences. Anna Wintour, Vogue's legendary editor nicknamed Nuclear Wintour, inspires fierce loyalty through network closure, where your friends know each other and hold one another accountable. Trust in America has plummeted, with only 1/3 believing strangers can be trusted. Yet high-trust companies report 74% less stress, 50% higher productivity, and 40% less burnout. Surprisingly, about 60% of trustworthiness stems from network structure rather than individual character, whether you're embedded in a network where bad behavior gets reported and norms enforced. Gossip serves a crucial function. We spend over 60% of conversations gossiping, and evolutionarily, it allowed humans to form large groups by policing cheaters without witnessing misdeeds firsthand. Dense networks create bandwidth, the ability to convey complex, nuanced information that would never survive transmission through disconnected contacts. Vernon Jordan exemplified rare balance, maintaining an expansionist's breadth, a broker's strategic positioning, and a convener's deep trust. Despite LinkedIn profiles boasting hundreds of connections, we can only maintain about 150 stable relationships, Dunbar's number, unchanged since hunter-gatherer times. Shep Gordon transformed Alice Cooper and Emeril Lagasse into icons by understanding popularity as performance art, hiring photographers with empty cameras to create the illusion of fame. Gordon exemplifies expansionists, people whose networks defy Dunbar's limits. While average people know about 600 others, superconnectors might know 6,000 or more. These network sizes follow a power law distribution. If height followed the same pattern, someone would be 8,000 feet tall. Princeton sociologist Matthew Salganik artificially ranked unpopular songs as most downloaded. Those songs actually became popular, demonstrating how initial advantages compound dramatically, the Matthew effect. Our brains are evolutionarily wired to notice popularity. We visually fixate on popular individuals longer, activating neural regions that register social rank. MBA students who overestimated their knowledge, claiming familiarity with fictitious concepts, were more popular by semester's end. Perception often creates reality, and the courage to put yourself forward matters as much as what you actually know. Pastor Rick Warren built Saddleback Church on humanity's longing for belonging, creating a cellular church of small prayer groups that enabled extraordinary growth while maintaining intimacy. This reveals a key truth. Effective networks mix elements from different styles rather than rigidly adhering to one pattern. Your optimal network strategy should evolve with your career stage. For recent graduates, expansionist networks yield the greatest benefits. Almost anyone you meet has more resources and power. As you climb the hierarchy, brokerage becomes most beneficial mid-career. But the most advantageous pattern isn't static. It's oscillation between brokerage and convening, alternating periods of deep relationships with strategic bridge building. One surprisingly valuable strategy is reconnecting with dormant ties, former colleagues you haven't spoken with in years. These old contacts combine the novel perspectives of brokerage with the trust benefits of convening, offering more useful knowledge than either current strong or weak ties. Top-performing executives maintain 12 to 18 core contacts, fulfilling six essential roles, providing information access, formal power, developmental feedback, personal support, sense of purpose, and work-life balance help. Marina Abramović spent months at MoMA gazing into strangers' eyes without speaking. Participants often wept, moved by the power of undivided attention, what psychologists call high-quality connections. Yet we're increasingly incapable of offering this gift. Nearly a quarter of Americans constantly feel rushed, impairing our ability to read emotions. Our phones worsen this through inattentional blindness. Only 25% of cell phone users noticed a clown unicycling past them. Princeton psychologists found that time pressure, not beliefs, determined helping behavior. Only 10% of rushed seminarians stopped to aid a victim, compared to 63% of those not hurried. Asking follow-up questions significantly increases likability by demonstrating active listening. Though we spend 44% of our time listening, truly being heard is rare. As Thich Nhat Hanh wrote, "The best gift we can offer our beloved is our true presence." Effective listening reduces physical pain and improves leadership. Touch also profoundly affects connection. Specialized nerve fibers communicate specific emotions with remarkable accuracy. In our distracted world, these ancient capacities remain the foundation of genuine relationship. In 1989, Captain Hunt mistakenly shut down the wrong engine during an emergency. Passengers and crew saw flames from the left engine, not the right one he'd shut down. They remained silent. 47 people died. Human error causes most plane crashes, with 84% of pilot error accidents stemming from junior officers fearing to contradict seniors. Crew members stay silent in half of safety-critical situations, and 85% of professionals withhold important concerns at work. Google's Project Aristotle studied 180 teams over 2 years, analyzing 250 attributes. The conclusion? Who is on a team matters far less than how members interact. The most important factor was psychological safety, an environment where people feel safe taking interpersonal risks without fear of punishment. A single rude comment can destroy this safety. Though negative relationships comprise only 1 to 8% of work interactions, they exert disproportionate impact because bad emotions are processed more thoroughly than good ones. Companies serious about civility must go beyond platitudes. As Netflix's Culture Deck states, actual company values are shown by who gets rewarded, promoted, or let go. Netflix enforces two principles: demanding stellar performance and not tolerating brilliant jerks.